From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has just released what I believe is her third solo CD. It's called Violet Light, and she joins me from home in Tennessee, Maya DeVitri. Hello. Thanks for doing
this. Hi. Hi, Eric. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you again. When you were last here, which I think was in spring of 2017, it was as a member of the Stray Birds.
Yes.
Different space entirely. And of course, you're in what looks to be some sort of created home studio. So I'm thrilled that you had time to do this.
Yeah, I'm in what I call my hobbit office. It's down sort of underground.
So a lot of our listeners are going to be fairly familiar with your output of work going back a decade now, going back to the early days of the Stray Birds. And when you were here with the trio, it was close to the end of that chapter of your musical output. I remember the record that came out, Let It Pass, and it landed here, and all of us just kind of looked at one another and said, wait a minute, this is it? They're calling it quits? There's no tour, there's no follow-up, there's no sessions, no interview, you're done. Tell me about how you managed to process that time and that turning of the page professionally.
It was really difficult. I mean, I managed to process it by turning away from music for a little while, least full-time music and trying to play shows. I didn't want to go on the road. I didn't want to really tour. I didn't have any sense of myself as a musician outside of that band by that point. And, you know, I had started recording. I was able to, but that felt like a more private thing. Like, I had already recorded Adaptations, my first solo record, even before the Stray Birds recorded our last record. And so I knew that I had songs I wanted to still make, and I still wanted to create music, but the studio felt like a safe place for me to kind of explore what it was like to lead a band and be in a solo way. But it was really difficult. I just got a job in Nashville and started staying home more and writing a lot. And, you know, if that band had been a nourishing place if it had been something that, you know, we could have taken care of ourselves in any way and continued, we would have done it. You know, I from the outside, none of us wanted to make something and invest so much time and energy and love into something that we had to walk away from. But it really wasn't possible for us as individuals to be okay.
You've written a couple of things about that time, about wanting to be helpful, wanting to be in a collaborative music project, not really wanting to lead anything. You've talked about how scary it was to kind of be out front singing songs. As you have transitioned to solo musician, I mean, you mentioned you'd already recorded one record, but almost maybe from the perspective of it being hobbyist, right? Like it was something that you were doing as a personal endeavor rather than it being the professional pursuit. But now you're fully in this new era. How have you come to grips with all of those issues and feelings that you had before?
I think that I'm coming to a clearer sense of how I can be a solo artist and how I can be a songwriter and still include other people and not make it all about me and I can be the songwriter and create an atmosphere and a world for other people to step into and then be a part of and bring themselves to it. And that has been a really joyful part of the transition. Like on Violet Light, every single song is a different band. Yeah. And the musicians were just, you know, chosen to support and bring themselves and their creativity to each specific song. And so we were able to involve over 20 different musicians to create these bands on the album. I recorded with a different band on Adaptations not for each track, but just a live band in the studio. But there was a band for Adaptations. And then there was a different band for How to Break a Fall. And when I go on the road, it's different musicians. And I think that scared me at first, and that it would be, there's like a loss of consistency, or like perfection, kind of like you can't, or actually there's just a loss of control. Like you can't. and that was one of the things that the Stray Birds were really, really good at. Like we had a show, it was specific, and we played Dreamin' Blue the same way for, you know, 7 years or yep. whatever, like yep. the same arrangement basically. And so I kind of had to let go of that and then realize and sort of grow into the fact that that was something that wasn't necessarily a value in music for me personally. And now I'm getting closer to like my value in music being that songs themselves are like living and breathing, and each performance and each, like they can be interpreted. It feels good to interpret my own songs, basically. Yeah. Like, yeah. like come to them in a different, on a different day, a different moment, and come to them with fresh ears and fresh people, and have to listen so carefully, not because I want it to be like it was all the other times, but because I want it. And not that everything the Stray Birds did was a repeated thing, but there's like a lot of value and meditation kind of in doing something so similarly from night to night. But I think what I'm growing towards now is that I want to bring more, I guess, just like more space and more change all the time with, you know, in my music.
I happen to see over your shoulder in the Hobbit studio a fairly nice looking collection of guitars. I hope that you might choose one and play us a song. My guest is Maya Devitri. Her new record is called Violet Light. You can find information at mayadevitri.com. Devitry is how you spell it. What do you want to play first for us?
I'm going to play a song called Never on the Map. And this one goes back to the days that I first traveled across the country. I was 18 and I was busking with some friends, and this was before I ever dreamed of having a life as a touring musician or a recording musician. But we were just playing Johnny Cash songs at farmers markets, and I wanted to write something that honored that time in my life and the people who were there with me. This right is on. Called Never on the Map.
In the hidden hills of Pittsburgh, way up above the streets, hey, we're on their way to Montreal. We're bound for New Orleans. We were westbound in a Saturn, west and everywhere between. Once you hear about those trains, you ride forever in your dreams. Songs. He had his own guitar. Ellie Nick sang a bit and let the strangers talk. Nick played spoons and I played fiddle. We slept under the stars. Where one Arizona sunrise stays forever. There's a river runs right through you. It's never on the map. Mr. Cash, what do we owe you for those tickets to the West? We sang your songs for oranges and mac and cheese and bread. Oh, the dew of Colorado. Still my favorite coldest bed. Yes, all across this country, there's a place to lay your head. When you go out on that road, you never quite come back.
that is never on the map. Maya DeVitri is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Violet Light. You can find information at mayadevitri.com. Thanks for playing.
You're welcome.
All right, so now who are or were Corey, Ellie, and Nick?
So Corey and Ellie were friends of mine who went to Hempfield High School with me in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And Nick is another friend of mine. We went to Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster together.
Right,
and so these are like, you know, childhood friends, and Corey and Ellie are siblings, and Corey had a Saturn and he agreed to let us all ride around in his car and pay him some gas money. And we all shared, you know, like we didn't have iPhones or whatever. Like we had an Atlas and we went with our instruments and went across the country together.
Wow. Do they know that you've name dropped them in the new song?
So Nick knows. I actually showed the song to Nick because I saw him a couple weeks ago. And then he loved it. He was like, wow, this takes me right back. And then he started telling me all these stories of his journey back across the country. He hitchhiked with truckers the whole way back to Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
From Oregon.
Holy
and
cow.
Yeah, so he started telling me that story. But Ellie and Corey, they don't know. I'm going to send the song to them.
Oh, wow. All
right, and I hope they're okay with it. But.
Okay, so 2018, you start releasing music under your own name. You've got a year, like a year and a quarter maybe, until COVID. That is a tough roadblock to have land in front of you at the start of a new chapter of your professional growth. How have you managed, diverted your attention, done things differently to accommodate the craziness of the last couple of years?
I think the biggest shift for me is trying to understand being a musician as like a lifelong thing, like a long arc, and to not just see it as like one focused album release at a time, although it is that too, or one, you know, that there's something has to happen, you know, in order to make all of this worth it. It's like, no, this music is healing to me, and like music is my medicine, and it's a gift that I feel like I'm getting a gift when I sit and write a song. Like there's a gift coming to me, and then I get to give a gift when I share the song and put it out there, and like that is the value. You know, there is intrinsic value in that, from in that process. And one thing I've had to be okay with is just getting another job again. You know, like I thought that like, okay, I'll be a barista for a while and then I'll get back on the road with my solo project. And then you know, I was trying to freelance my way through the pandemic and it was burning me out, and I don't want to give up. I don't ever want to let my love of music suffer again. I don't want it to be a place of pain for me and a place of burnout. And it was by the end of The Stray Birds. It really was. I think the arc is long, and I will get back out there, and I've got a tour booked for May and that I'm about to announce. But I can't deal with the, you know, booking everything and rebooking it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like too much right now. So I'm really trying to be patient, and it's just too hard on my brain to keep up with that. So I'm really trying to be patient to just like, I don't know, like hopefully by the spring things will be a little easier to, it'll be a little easier to move around. So yeah, like I'm, you know, putting an album out in January and I'm not even thinking about touring like for months. And this time I just have to be okay with that.
Maya DeVitri is my guest here on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Violet Light. You can find information at mayadevitri.com. What do you want to play next?
I want to play a song called Margaret. It's a waltz, and it's written thinking a lot about my grandmother. She's in her 90s. You know, I thought it was a big deal. I turned 30 during the pandemic, and I was like, wow, I turned 30 during the pandemic. My grandma turned 90 during the pandemic. So this is for my grandma and for all the perspectives and wisdom that she brings to her daily life.
Daughter, a sister, a mother, for a long time I was a wife. I've had squirrels in my ceiling and heartache.
Is beautiful. It's called Margaret. Maya DeVitri is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Violet Light. You can find information at mayadevitri.com. That's just great.
Thank you.
What a pretty song. As you have transitioned into Maya DeVitri's solo artist era, do you feel like some of your musical influences are bubbling to the surface more than when you were a member of a band?
I think that one of the things that has been easier to openly love is drums, which is funny to talk about after, you know, even the way Margaret was recorded, there's no drums on that track. But that's something that was kind of a crisis for the band. Like when we were a string band, we sang into one mic.
Yeah.
And that required a certain amount of vocal endurance to be able to like carry a song into one mic. There's not as much support of each having your own microphone and being able to be super dynamic with a microphone and the way you sing a song and tell the story. So, and it also made it really difficult to add a drummer into the band if we were all playing around one mic. And so it was a little bit of a crisis of identity, I think, when the band did add a drummer at a certain point. And for me, it was like a clean slate. So when I made my first record, it was like rock band with with a string section. And it was big. And there were small moments too, but I kind of felt like this new sense of permission. Like, I don't know what Maya DeVitri sounds like. And now with Violet Light, I've really, really gone, some of the roots of acoustic music that I love so much are right there. Like it's not like I it's not that I abandoned them or ever turned away. That's still the way that I play music for fun with my friends is to get together and play acoustic music.
Yeah, there's a very very noticeable to me Gillian Welch, Dave Rawlings vibe on some of the songs on this record.
And that's great because I grew up listening to that music. And then I remember the day The Harrow and the Harvest came out and it was on maybe it was on like NPR First Listen or something. But I mean, the minute I could listen to that full album, I just remember laying on the floor. It was this like third floor, like loft space at my sister's apartment in Boston. And I just remember laying on the floor with headphones and just listening to the whole album, like the first second that I could get my ears on it. You know, I love acoustic music so much, and I love bluegrass and I love old time and going to those festivals. And I also love the band and Levon Helm, and I love, you know, old jazz, and I love, there's so many other styles of music that I love. And the two things that I've is like a love of drums and percussion that I feel like when I do want to invite that in, when the song is calling for it, I don't feel any inhibition about including that and just including it as another instrument, making it a part of the sound, and that it is another instrument. And then I feel even more free to just strip the song away as small as it wants to be and as quiet as it wants to be. So I guess the range, I feel like a lot more freedom with the range of and the vocal delivery too, you know, that there's not the pressure to kind of turn everything into a three-part harmony situation. So I can invite specific harmony singers, like Kaya Cater has this incredibly rich, velvet, deep voice, and she sings this low harmony on the last song on the album, Leftover Tears, and it's just incredible, like the timbre of her voice, and that was the blend that we wanted. And so to be able, but you know, I'm not going to necessarily be able to go on the road with Kaya, but it can live on this album, and it was just such a special thing to get to collaborate with her.
Something struck me as you were talking about some of the elements of the record that you've kind of embraced more than in the past, the drums and vocal stylings, that I wanted to ask about. Like in your quiet moments or your downtime, do you ever stop and think that, you know, when that Gillian Welch record came out that you first heard and were so turned on by and so inspired by, Gillian Welch, David Rawlings were in the place that basically Maya DeVitri is occupying now. Is that like a strange kind of concept to wrap your head around, that as a new generation of string-based musicians have grown up, they've kind of started to occupy that space that other group has maybe now started to vacate a little bit? Like you are the young generation of people who are innovating and creating new sounds and trying to push acoustic music in new directions.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just always feel like the little kid. Like, I'm always going to be the teenager laying on the floor listening to Gillian and Dave.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pop these low-grade earbuds for Zoom out. I'm going to put on a real pair of headphones. I'm going to lay down on the floor, and I'd love to listen to you play one more song for us.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to play a song called How Bad I Wanna Live, which I wrote right before the pandemic. I wrote it after a very, very terrifying hike. It was a backpacking trip. We got caught in a storm and just really had to live in the moment and trust my body in a new way. And I didn't want to forget that moment. I didn't want to forget the gratitude I felt for just being alive, because it's really easy to get, you know, not just to take it for granted, to not think that it's anything special. And it's always special to just be alive at all. So it's kind of taken on new meaning now that it's coming out in the middle of a pandemic. But this is called How Bad I Wanna Live.
I never dreamed I'd ask what I need now that he could bear to watch. If I fall down and I don't come back out of the ocean laughing, he can love me to the blood, he can love me to the bone, but there's still some roads I gotta go alone, and there's still some nights I'm gonna be the only one crying. Oh, but I the ground around me. And I was lost from my body, even worse than I thought. Now I love her more than ever, yeah, she's all that I've got. And whatever she tells me she needs, that's what I'm
Nice way to wrap up. It's called How Bad I Want to Live. Maya DeVitri is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Violet Light. You can find information at her website, mayadevitri.com. It's good to see you again. Thanks for taking time and doing this.
It's great to see you, Eric. Thank you so much for your support and for playing the music and for talking today.